Today's scripture lesson is called the Beatitudes. It is a well-known passage in scripture. There are actually two versions of the Beatitudes in the New Testament. One is found in Mark, and that's the one we'll be reading today. The other is found in Luke. There are some minor differences in the wording of the two scriptures. There's also a little bit different location in both when Jesus delivers these Beatitudes and where. According to Matthew, he's up on a mountain. In Luke, he's on a plane. But at both times, the Beatitudes are used as an introduction to the teaching about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And the version we'll be reading today from Matthew follows right on the heels of Jesus' call to these new disciples to come and follow him. And it is the beginning, kind of the introductory, the new disciple orientation, if you will, to what it's going to look like to be a follower of Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. Not that most of us probably really care that much this year. The Rams are not in it. Neither are the Broncos or the Bears, which really matter in my household. All things being equal, I personally would like to see New England lose, because I'm not a Patriots, Belichick, or Brady fan. But bottom line, when I watch this next weekend, I'll be watching for the commercials. But I know that's not true for everyone. There will be true believers who will pay a king's ransom to sit on opposite sides of the stadium to watch the two teams battle it out for 3 hours or so next weekend. And in the end, one team will emerge as the winner and the other will be the loser. One team and their fans will be rejoicing, while the other will be dejected. And here is my prediction. Whoever wins, at the wrap-up after the game, at least one member of the winning team will give an interview in which he will give credit for their victory to God. He will claim that it was God who helped him set a new record or score a winning goal. And on one level, I am thankful for his willingness to give witness to his faith, to refrain from taking all the credit for himself, to avoid that trap of separating his career from his faith. On the other hand, I have to admit I die a little bit inside when I hear God come up as if God was for one of the teams and against the other team. But it's such an easy trap to fall into. thinking that when we succeed, God is for us. And when we fail, God is against us. But if there's anything that today's passage wants to make clear, it is that such a view of the world is completely contrary to God's vision. God is in the business of bestowing blessings. But what those blessings look like and on whom they are bestowed isn't at all what we might expect. Every community in every time and place has its own definition of a blessing. But generally, it has to do with things that help us achieve what everyone agrees is the good life. Usually, it has some kind of material aspect to it. To be blessed is to have wealth, or power, or fame, or beauty, or success. The blessed are those who are to be envied. So when Jesus begins his teaching on the practical applications of following Jesus with a list of who the blessed are, no one would have batted an eye. A lot of religious and general wisdom in Jesus' day would have come in a form of a beatitude. Blessed are the wise, for they will not be fooled. Blessed are the strong, for their enemies will fear them. Blessed are the wealthy, for they shall never go hungry. Beatitudes were kind of pithy little statements that described how life really is. So the surprise comes when Jesus takes that regular, accustomed form and just turns it on its head. For Jesus, Beatitudes don't express any commonly held understanding of how life is. Instead, they're filled with these unexpected twists and turns. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the hungry, the persecuted, for they're going to be the ones on top. They're the ones who are going to receive the reward. The disciples must have thought that Jesus had lost his mind. But we don't hear it that way anymore, do we? For most of us, these words have lost their shock value. The words are so familiar that they kind of roll over us like some kind of Christian lullaby, you know, something that we might want to needlepoint and make into a pillow for our sofa. But imagine for a moment that Jesus is here this morning instead of me, and his sermon begins, "Blessed are the homeless. Blessed are you who are so behind in your school assignments, there is no possibility of digging yourself out by the quarter end. Blessed are you who are unemployed, who are undergoing marital distress, who have been diagnosed with a catastrophic illness. Blessed is the refugee." Would we hear it the same way? In our society, as in Jesus' times, if you were any of these things, you would have been considered anything but blessed. And I think the key to making this shift from hearing these things more like curses and hearing the blessing that God is offering in the midst of them is found in focusing not so much on the life circumstance, but on the promise of God. It isn't that It isn't the loss that we mourn, the poorness of our spirit, the ridicule of others that is what blesses us. That's not what Jesus is saying. What blesses us is God's promise to be there in the midst of it all. Redeeming and transforming is what brings the blessing. The message is clear. If God shows up here among the meek and the vulnerable, then God will be everywhere. Which David Luce, professor at Luther Seminary in Minneapolis, thinks may have been exactly Jesus' point. As Jesus is beginning his teaching on what it means to come and follow him, he makes it clear he isn't going to offer any recipe for success or a key to happiness. Or some kind of best life now plan. Instead, Jesus teaches that the ones whom God calls are blessed. Those who are down and out, the ones distressed by circumstances, passionate about promoting righteousness, working for peace, or persecuted for doing the right thing, again and again, God shows up just where we least expect God to be, in order to give us what we can neither earn nor achieve for ourselves: blessedness. This is not a teaching, keep in mind, about how to recognize blessedness, or how to receive a blessing, or even how to bless others. It is a guide to opening our eyes so that we can see who's blessed by God, particularly recognizing those that we normally wouldn't consider blessed. The Beatitudes are not prescriptive. They don't seek to tell us what to do. Instead, they give us these 9 portraits of kingdom people and God's relationship to them. Descriptions that invite us to walk through all of life as if we are walking on holy ground, because in fact we are. Or more accurately, we will be, by God's grace. When David Luce was in graduate school working on his PhD, he had a professor, Cleophas LaRue, Dr. Cleophas LaRue. I know Dr. LaRue. He is an amazing preaching professor. And Dr. LaRue would always refer to David Luce as Dr. Luce. Now remember, he is a graduate student. He is studying to become a doctor. But every day, Dr. Luce, Dr. Luce. And it was really beginning to bother him, David. So finally one day, he just stopped him and he said, "But Dr. LaRue, I haven't earned my doctorate yet. I don't think I should be called that." Dr. Luce, his professor, patiently responded, "In the African-American church, we are not content to call you what you are, but instead, we call you what we believe you will be." I think Jesus does the same. Yes, you may be poor and meek. You may mourn and yearn for what is right. You may have to forgive a lot of people for a lot of things, and you may have to put up with a lot that is wrong in this world. That is who you are, but it isn't all that you are. By the promise and power of God, you are also blessed. You will inherit and be filled. Find comfort and mercy. See God and be claimed by God. That is what the Beatitudes invite us to embrace, to come and know ourselves to be blessed. So here is something that breaks my heart. If there is any place on earth where we should be able to be vulnerable and completely honest, where we should be able to admit our failings and our struggles, our doubts and our sins, it should be right here in church, in the midst of God's people. After all, to be human is to be broken. Or to put it in the words of Paul when he writes to the church in Rome, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet we keep trying to keep up this facade, trying to pretend that we're got it all together, that, you know, maybe there's problems out here, but in here, within these walls, everybody is nice and holy and lovely and perfect and really. After college, when I returned home to Newport Beach, I went back to my home church, St. Andrew's, and my pastor at that time, John Huffman, would begin every worship service with these words during the welcome. He would say, "Welcome to the local chapter of Sinners Anonymous." So just having come out of college and everything, I just thought he was being a little cutesy at the time. It kind of irritated me. But I have to tell you, it's grown on me over the years. Because it's true. We are all sinners. We do all struggle with life and faith. And this should be the place where we can admit that and find help from others who share the struggle, who can remind us that while that is who we are sinners, we are fallible, we mess up, we are broken, it isn't all that we are. God in Christ promises us more, promises us that we are among the blessed. It's not always an easy promise to hear and accept. It may be that we have heard the promise so often that we don't even listen anymore. Or we have a hard time believing that the promise could possibly be for me. After all, we all know how unworthy we really are. Or our circumstances may be dire and we struggle to hold on to any shred of hope or faith or love. But none of that changes the truth. And none of it changes the call on us to be a community, a place where we know for ourselves and we demonstrate for the world that ours is a God who shows up amid our brokenness to bring blessing. That those whom the world calls unlovable or unworthy are cherished by God. For this is the truth. God loves you. God adores you. God wants the very best for you. God chooses you, not just to receive God's attention, but also God's blessing. So blessed are you, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your questions or doubts or fears or failures, blessed are you. Unexpected, unsettling, nearly inconceivable as it may be, blessed are you because God loves you. God forgives you. God shows up for you. God is with you, and God is for you. This day and every day, thanks be to God. Amen.